God of endings and beginnings, be present with us in this time. Help us to recognize this moment for what it is, both for us and for the followers of Christ. It is amazing. It is terrifying. It is a miracle. It is a tragedy. In a time of confusion, give us clarity. In a time of fear, give us hope. In a place of death, show us the path to new life. It is in the name of the risen Christ that we pray. Amen. So, I often struggle with Holy Week and Easter in general. I love this time of year so much because it is such a, it is who we are. We are an Easter people. It is the fount from which we burst forth. Like the light bursting from the tomb here, we are the light just pouring out. I love that imagery. It's transformational for the church across time. But why I struggle is because, try as I might to be present in the story that we hear through Holy Week, stories of pain, of betrayal, of abandonment, of death and loss, I can't help but see this time through the lens of today, of Easter morning, of the empty tomb. When I hear the Maundy Thursday story of that Last Supper, those final acts and prayers, I can't help but think, this is where the meal started. It's amazing. When I hear and see the story of Good Friday as we did at Wilmot, I was moved deeply by the story of pain and affected by the shadow cast by the cross that day. But in the back of my mind, I couldn't help but think, there is a light that shines beyond that cross to make it cast that shadow. And how brilliant is that light? Even today, on Easter morning, the day that God has made, in which I rejoice with the loudest hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
There we go. It is easy to forget that for the followers of Christ, except perhaps for Mary, at the end of our gospel reading, this was a terrifying time. For as yet, they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. This is what ends our reading today in the Gospel of John. So Peter and that disciple that Jesus loved went away from the tomb, not in joyful celebration, but mourning again, because they thought that someone had stolen the body of the one that they called teacher. So I struggle with this week every year, because on the one hand, I want to celebrate, and you know me, I want to shout, hallelujah!
Hallelujah.
And yet, on the other hand, for us to truly appreciate today the whole life and ministry of Christ, in fact, we have to understand the mindset of the followers of Christ in those days, in those moments. In the span of a week, they lost everything. They went from triumphant entry to empty tomb in just 8 days. For a few days in the middle there, they would have been celebrating, as we did last Sunday, waving our palm branches high. Even up until Thursday, a day that we approach with anticipation of the betrayal to come, they would have been celebrating the Passover with no concerns or worries at all. And then the bottom dropped out. The next few days would have been chaos for them, and they went from dancing to drowning, just trying to keep their head above water. With this understanding, we see the empty tomb as something else. It is at the same time filled with hope and mystery. And mystery can be terrifying. But even if the disciples had an inkling of the resurrection, maybe they hadn't guessed at it exactly, but hoped for it maybe, I mean, this wasn't the first time that they'd seen someone come back from the dead, right? What about Lazarus that we heard at the beginning of Lent? Here they saw the power of Jesus Christ calling a man from the darkness of death to the light of new life. And what about the daughter of the soldier Jairus? Not a story that we've heard over the last few months, but even here, death was pushed back and life won out, and the disciples all saw it. How is today any different? Even later, when the disciples hear that Jesus is risen, when in other Gospels the story of his resurrection is shared, there is tension, there is fear, and there is confusion. So how is this story any different from the other two stories that I mentioned? Nothing will ever be the same for the disciples. Even though Christ is risen and there is joy in this, nothing will ever be the same. Though he is returning, he is not staying. And he makes that clear, even to Mary, saying that he is ascending, that he is leaving. After he ascends, he won't be teaching anymore. He won't be healing. He won't be feeding or leading anyone. At least not in the way that he has been. Just as much as we struggle to understand the mystery of the resurrection today, we also struggle moving from where we are to where God is calling us to. Even if the place that we are in is painful, like having to deal with the death of a friend or a leader, or like changing from a way that we've been doing things for so long to a new way, where we are is familiar. It is known. And even when it is unhealthy and bad for us, it can often be preferable to the unknown and to the mystery. That's kind of where the disciples are today and in the coming days, struggling to move from what is known to what is unknown. For us, as the people of St. Paul's United Church, the days ahead are filled with uncertainties and unknowns. But what we must remember is that Jesus doesn't stay in the tomb, and neither should we. He's gone on to new life and is calling us to follow. The Holy Spirit does not stand still with us, but it flows from one moment to the next. God is calling us out of fear and anxiety, calling us into the unknown, creating there already, shaping that mystery, that we might reveal it, that we might become a part of that mystery. Nothing will ever be the same. And to that I shout, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, come on, folks, it's Easter. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I shout that because systems of hate in this world cannot stand for long when love, even when it's brutalized, crucified, and buried, comes back. Always comes back, never giving up, calls us into that same love over and over again. Whether we decide to remain in this tomb and mourn or seek the new life that Christ is already living, already calling us to join him in, nothing will ever be the same. Because this morning, every morning, God is doing a new thing and inviting us to be a part of it. This is what should cause our souls to soar. A joy so great that it fills us to bursting. As scary as the mystery might be, as confusing as the resurrection might seem, we do not walk blindly, but with God going ahead of us, calling from beyond the veil of the unknown. Christ walks beside us, supporting us, whispering to us, encouraging us, guiding us with his life and his teachings. And the Holy Spirit, it blows at us from behind, giving courage to our steps, pushing us on, and empowering us to bring the light into the dark places of this world. Nothing will ever be the same. I've said that a lot today, but why? It's not because Jesus is gone, but because He's gone on ahead of us. Death has no hold over us because new life pours out of that tomb like a river. The chains of guilt, sin, and brokenness, chains that bear us to the ground and steal our breath, these chains have been broken. We can let those go and instead pick up the gospel of love, of undying love. And with it, we can change the world. Hallelujah.